Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio, doing great things in the community and enjoying his crab cake tour during a Ravens' bye week. Nestor, welcome in.
Dennis, what's a bye week? We don't have any bye weeks here at WNS Team Ball. Are there bye weeks at Coons, Baltimore Ford? I don't think there are, right?
We have a bye day on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day, and that's about it.
The Orioles are having a bye off season, so far,
Yeah, but crickets.
Yeah, you know, I've been at it all week, and we can sit here. We can do sports. We can do civics. I've done it all, and I've just been out in the community a little bit this week. It's really nice to be me at this point. You know, 25 years into doing this, and it'll be my 32nd year on radio. No, yeah, 32nd year on radio on December the 13th. So I'm trying to do all the math on this. It'll be my 40th year in January. I think it was January 11th or 12th was the first day I ever walked into the News American. So it'll be 40 years since I did that. And you know, it's crazy. Like I was at everywhere I go and do these shows, people are there, right? And that's the beauty of doing it. And I sort of told my wife that back during the plague. I'm like, I'm going to do this crab cake tour and I'm just going to find myself in random places in Baltimore, restaurants from 2 until 5, or in your case, you're coming to State Fair on Tuesday. We're doing a breakfast thing from 9 until noon. And sometimes there's a few listeners that show up. Sometimes some listeners come through. I've had Uber drivers who listen, roll through and say hello and pick up a crab cake and or a salad for lunch or whatever. But it's not like the barn show where it's autographs and Ray Lewis and people. But it's different than that, but it's almost like better than that in some ways because I'm sitting in Coco's and I'm not going to out this human because she's going to come on. She works for the local charity, but she was an original Raven employee, a David Modell first person in 1996. Raven employee who was there for, you know, the beginning part of the Bisciotti era, I think. I think she may have worked there 8 or 10 years, the first 10 years. And I saw her and like she was just in getting a crab cake. She works for a charity. She was picking up a check for a do good thing for Susan G. Komen over near Coco's. And I wound up just seeing her. And then there's a table of 6 older fellas who were all playing golf. And they all sort of knew who I was and were, you know, talking sports with me and golf and Ravens. And then there's a table, 2 brothers up at the bar, didn't recognize me. My hair's long. They're like, I'm giving them lottery tickets and they won. And then there was a dude at the bar that came like halfway through the show. He's like, hey, I saw you on Facebook. I live in the neighborhood. It's the best crab cake in town. Sign my book for me. You know,
there
like,
you go.
So I get this out while I'm, and in addition to hanging with Marcella and hanging with Ron Cassie, hanging with Rasig, who, if you know Rasig, you love Rasig. He's one of my favorite people.
Met him once because of you, and he still owes me a caricature of myself at some point.
Well, yeah, look, here's the problem with Rasig over the weekend. He had his grandkids in town. So once that happens, things stop, you know, Thanksgiving holiday. But I dragged him out. You know, he lives 2 blocks from Coco's. So I dragged him out. He's my co-host, co-host,
gotcha.
When I'm over there.
At Coco's.
Because he lives in the neighborhood. And I told this great story because Kiss was in town this week. And, you know, I had Wendy Bronfine off from Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. Her family sponsors the CFG Bank Arena, right? Like, so they are on the sweepstakes and they give tickets away and they do all that stuff. And I asked why. She's like, my family loves music and Kiss is in town. I fell in love with music 2 blocks from Coco's. You talk about being Greek and your immigrant family in Sedona,
sure.
Right? I drove through there with my wife the other day where the Popeyes is there, right? And that Parkside Gardens apartments on the other side, that's where my family lived. That's where my Venezuelan family lived in the apartments 4 blocks from where you were in 1972, 73,
yep,
74.
Exactly right.
Okay, so they moved from those apartments when my uncle Nelson did well and got a job, and he worked at Chesapeake Cadillac. He was a mechanic at Chesapeake Cadillac in 1974, 5, 6, 7, and they moved into this big house on Tyndale Avenue, 2 blocks away from Walther and where Coco's is, and it was there in the attic that my cousin, my older bigger brother at that point in my life, cousin Nelson, introduced me to Kiss Alive 1. He put the album on and I heard Kiss for the first time and I heard Alice Cooper for the first time and Cher in 1974. And it put me on a musical pathway.
Nice.
So the day that Kiss played their last show here, I was at Coco's. I was 2 blocks away. So I wore my Kiss belt buckle. So I've had like this fun, I haven't even gotten to Gertrude's yet today. And then on Friday, I'm at Hollywood Casino and we're telling the story with Tom Kelso. And we're doing a Stadium for Dummies. And by the way, the most viewed listened to thing piece that I've done here in the last month, the two most listened to pieces and viewed pieces are my piece with Tom Kelso and my piece with John Eisenberg talking about the journalism and the stadium and the money. Dennis, I think there's a little awakening on this story. I think, are they talking about it at the Fan? Are they talking about it? I think people are now talking about the Orioles don't have a lease. And like, I'm not the only one talking about what are they doing?
Yeah, the drumbeat is getting louder and louder, Nestor. The silence is deafening coming from Camden Yards, not just with the front office and the lack of moves this offseason, but also with the mayor, the governor, everybody, right? All the politicians involved in regard to the money.
They
Another
can't
comment.
sell you a ticket right now. Their tickets
Oh,
aren't on
God, that's
sale.
crazy.
It's Christmas. I mean, you're a businessman. I'm a business. It's just, it's not. Marty Conway used to kindly call it unorthodox. That was, which is the same thing that Vince McMahon called George the Animal Steele, if you remember, right?
He called George a lot of things, but that's another story for another day.
But, oh, is that, that's not kayfabe? They had a real problem, George Steele and
I
Vince?
don't know. Perhaps George was actually Greek, by the way, you know that. And he was
I did not know that.
he was I forget what his last name was, but he definitely was Greek and very temperamental. He and Vinny did not get along well. He got along well with the old man, though.
Well, one of the things about him is he only worked the summers because he was teaching school in the
That's
other
right.
summer.
He was a very smart man. Absolutely.
Yeah,
He
he
was
just, you know, I mean, I could go wrestling all
George
day
the
with you,
Animal
man.
Steel, brother. Yep. No, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, I did a whole thing on the CFG Bank Arena, and like, if you mention wrestling or any of that era, we were at the Baltimore Civic Center, and it just gave me, you know, every time I go down there and I see a show, I'm thankful, and I say that out loud. I say it to Bill Weidel at CFG Bank, and I actually said it to Curio. I mean, I don't know how many businesses have invested in that or signage. I haven't like paid much attention to it, but it's an important thing, and that's an important thing for the Orioles. You bragged about your sponsorship on Masson and the Orioles and going to games. That's what we
It was
all should
good.
be doing. That's
It
what we
was good.
all should be doing is, I mean, the businesses that support me, that support the baseball team or the football team, we're all, it's a community, right? And I think that that's the part that's missing from the Angelos family. It's certainly missing from Steve Bisciotti and Sashi Brown and Chad Steele, telling me who from my company could be in LA the other night covering the team and who can't. Their letters are coming along through the holidays too, but I've just been immersed in 9-3 football. The baseball team's interest, everything they do or don't do is interesting now because the spotlight's on them. They won 101 games. You're not going to have a lease. It's not back page anymore. It's not something. It's the most clicked on thing on my website. So, I know I'm on to, and in a time when the Ravens are 9-3 and Luke's embedded, but I know this too, that good news. And when the Ravens would win, and I've done this for 25 years here, right? When the Ravens win and are really good, the phone calls were always lighter, after victories than they were after losses. And certainly for the bye week, the Ravens stand in a position here when they come back online next week, right? When they start practicing again and we get Rams here, then you go on the road, Jacksonville, then you go on the road Christmas night with San Francisco. You sit around, watch all this football. I mean, the Ravens are going to be a real serious focal point here. And I don't know if the Orioles sign Blake Snell, which they're not, right? I mean, if they gave a lot of money to a player or they went and gave $150 million to Gunnar Henderson right now, it made a splash, whatever a splash could be. Sign a friggin' lease, maybe do that, right? But whatever their splash or their news would be, I mean, the headline here is still the football team might win
Yes,
the
yes.
Super Bowl. I mean, like this, if you had a dollar to bet on Friday and I went up to Hollywood Casino, and you said, pick a team. I don't know,
Very good bet.
50-50. You give me a dollar, I put 50 cents on Kansas City, 50 cents on them, and say one of them will be in the Super Bowl in
Well,
the AFC.
I think it's fair to say that if the football team was having a mediocre season, perhaps the spotlight would be greater on the Orioles, but the football team is having a great season, right? 9-3 at the bye. We would all sign up for that, of course. So that's kind of pushed the Orioles a little bit further back in all the
How does the
conversations.
baseball team draw 2 million people this year, not have their tickets on sale, not have a winter carnival, not have Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson wearing Christmas hats down there, not opening the club level and serving free apple cider and eggnog, not just to their orange brick holders? I'm talking about to people that just want to come down and engage with the baseball team. They had a snow. The last time my wife and I went to a game when they sucked before they got good was 3, 4, 5 years ago, whenever it was during the plague. And they were doing this Christmas in July. They were playing the Padres. Freddie Youmann left me tickets that night. I had free tickets that night, so I didn't pay. This was a couple 4 years ago. And this is when they were 30 and 70, and it's July, and it's 100 degrees, and they had snow machines out where the statues are, out in the picnic garden. I'm thinking, you got a whole stadium, you got Christmas, you got lights, you're downtown. Throw a party for the city. Throw a
Something a little
winter
bit.
carnival for people. Have an idea, TJ Brightman. Enact it over there, a rain amole. You know what I mean? Come on, do
Speaking of
something.
ideas, somebody put Lamar Jackson in an Oriole uniform with an NFL uniform. I don't know if you saw it, with black uniform, had the black helmet with the Oriole bird. And I'm thinking, man, talk about marketing. Can you imagine the Ravens coming out in Baltimore Oriole black uniforms with the orange bird? And also during the summer, the Orioles wearing, perhaps some Ravens type uniforms. If the MLB and NFL could somehow come together,
Oh my.
it would talk about brilliant
They
marketing.
compete on selling the way you compete on selling cars,
No, I
the
hear
way
you.
I compete with WBAL. And they just think like, I mean,
But man,
it's a
that
different
synergy,
level. Yeah.
but that synergy would sell a lot of merchandise, Nestor, because it was a really cool look to see Lamar in the Orioles, all black, orange trim. The big orange bird on his helmet, NFL uniform. It was really just a cool visual.
Back, I remember back when the Orioles gave away a purple hat with the Oriole bird on it, and it was Preakness night. This is 20 years ago, and then the Orioles sent the Ravens the bill for the hats.
Oh, come on, man.
No, come on,
You gotta be
come
kidding
on
me.
now. I can't make this stuff up
You
with
gotta be
this
kidding
mouth.
me.
With all the thing, all the truth I've given you, why would that be the lie?
All that free advertising, all that free
And
advertising.
this
You
was
gotta
at
be
a
kidding
time
me.
when Jeff Conine was there, and Dave. I mean, this was literally 2003, four. It was a long. Anybody can look it up. I mean, it was a long, long time ago. It's when the Orioles were hurting so bad that they were willing to acknowledge that the Ravens existed, and that was always a problem for Peter. I mean, still, it seems like it's still a problem for John. I've never seen John wearing a Raven hat. I've seen Bisciotti wearing an Oriole hat. Not recently. I haven't,
Oh,
but not recently.
that's a shame they can't get along, because that synergy would definitely benefit both franchises for
Oh,
sure.
I mean, come on. I mean, I was talking about that the night they had Keith Urban playing down at the Science Center, and I'm out in Denver watching Peyton Manning still throw touchdowns, 10 years later. But look, it's been 10 years since the last Super Bowl. We had that period from 01 to 13, that 12-year period, and things change and times change. But I'll tell you this, and certainly the fact that they sent me an email every other day having me buy my own PSLs back in some perch that they've made up that were my seats so they can get the Browns and the Bengals and fans and Lions fans out of the stadium. I would say this for them. They're in a period of time here for until they get eliminated or until something catastrophic happens, which would be getting eliminated. They're going to be on the tip of people's tongues here. And I don't know what the Orioles can do about that other than try to make news. But this is really where you make the hay with staying relevant to your fan base in an offseason where you win 101 games. You've been waiting a generation to be this good. And all they can do is fight with their team announcer, try to screw over the local media guy, me and Luke in Arlington. Can you imagine the effort that they put into going to John Blake of the Texas Rangers and saying, don't give him a clubhouse pass and sit him at the kids' table on the day they're being eliminated? This was 5 weeks ago, Dennis. So, like, this isn't the bird in 2004 free. This is 6 weeks ago. They're winning 101 games. We're committed to covering them. We are where we are. They treat their own people. They treat Kevin Brown like trash. And then the season ticket holders and the fans, where do they factor in to this money play? Because we're the ones that are going to come down for the big idea. And my whole thing in December, as much as I'm going to bitch about this and talk about this and have Tom Kelce on until whatever the final hours where Wes Moore sits next to me and whatever we say, and what's the idea? I'm going to keep saying that. I'll give you $5 billion, John Angelos, Walt Disney, Governor Schaefer, Jim Rouse, David Bramble. I'll give you all the money in the world. I'll give you Vegas money. Fix it. What's the idea? The idea isn't baseball games. The idea isn't a casino. The idea isn't let's hit a golf ball down at the Inner Harbor. The idea isn't eight football games a year. The idea isn't we're going to get Beyonce or Billy Joel or Paul McCartney or, I mean, Jimmy Buffett's dead, right? Van Halen's over with. You know, the kind of bands that they could play there. I what's the idea? I mean,
well, I think the bye week is indicative of the lack of ideas, Nestor. Shouldn't they be trying to steal headlines right now during the Ravens bye week?
They should be doing something, man.
Right? I mean, something. What are they doing? Nothing. Crickets.
Did you see the picture that I shared last week of Baltimore? Because I'm going to share this with a lot of people because it was the most viewed thing I did on LinkedIn last week. I'm going to try to find the picture I put up. I found this picture of Baltimore in 1971, 72. I don't know if and I don't have screen share privilege with you, but if I had it when you're on my show, remind me and I'll share it with you, because it's cranes in the Inner Harbor.
You should have it now, by the way. But go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So I want to share. No worry. Why, please, I want to share this with everybody. So yeah, I do have share privilege. Okay. So I put this on my Facebook page. Dennis, did you see this picture that I shared?
I did. And I thought to myself, dang that, but first of all, I didn't have knowledge back then. And second thing, I didn't have money to invest in a place like that. My God.
Well, you look at it and I can see the News American building on the left-hand side, and I can see everything that were the Light Street Pavilions, everything that became the Aquarium and Pier 6, everything that became the Science Center, everything that became Rash Field, everything that became the Four Seasons, everything that became something bigger for Federal Hill and the actual Hill and the Hyatt and the Sheraton and the McCormick and the place I spent 19 years of my life and the beautiful little church that I saw out my window, all sitting there. And at some point in 1972, they had all of this and they envisioned every girl you ever kissed at the Inner Harbor, every child you ever took there, every event you ever saw there, every crab cake you ever ate there, mm-hmm. every time you ever parked there, every firework you ever saw there, every baseball game you went to, everything that ever happened in that space over 50 years now, 51 years, happened because there was a Walt Disney who said, we're going to build a science center, we're going to build an aquarium, we're going to have a festival, we're going to have a pavilion. We're going to give people a place to come, bring their families, enjoy the view, enjoy food, enjoy community, gather, celebrate. I'll leave that there for you, for Westmore, for John Angelos, for Steve Bisciotti, for David Bramble, for anybody. That should inspire you. That's my TED talk for the day. What is it? You got a parking lot, two stadia that have been there for 30 years. You're going to bells and whistles it. What is going to make Dennis Colatzos and Nestor Aparicio and our kids and our grandkids want to go down there and participate in some way and feel like I need to be there? And until they come up with that, it's bourgeois. To borrow the words of John Belushi. You know what I mean? Like it's all a cash grab. It's skimming the 15% off the top to be the developer, pocketing the money. I mean, Ron Cassie said this to me, and I hadn't brought this up, and this is why I try to get smart people on. Ron was on the Crab Cake Tour at Coco's. It's going to air this week. You can listen to it. Ron is a senior editor at Baltimore Magazine. He's written books on how much he loves Baltimore. He's a Jersey guy. He's not even from Baltimore. He came here 40 years ago, never left. And he said this to me, there's nothing that would stop, and Kelso and I are going to talk about this Friday, there's nothing that would stop if they gift the land to the Angelos family and Orioles, that when the sale of the franchise happens, that the land doesn't get scammed off the top by the Angelos. In other words, when they sell the team, they just keep all the property.
Keep the land, yep.
And they create a new model where the people gifted me the land. They gifted me all the money to build the hotels on Boardwalk and Park Place. And we threw away the baseball team because we don't have the TV network and we could never figure out how to run it. And you know how uppity those ball players and their agents are? Do you know how much it costs to run a baseball team?
Right. They're all nonprofit organizations. We're aware of that.
It's an amazing thing. $145 million of leverage money. $29 million of cash that has now begat a $2 billion entity And there's not one scintilla of any evidence that they've done anything good for the community, that they've done anything good, for, even for their own family name, that they've done anything, that there's even any money left. I don't even know where the money went, because they're playing poor, crying poor, fighting with each other. It's a $2 billion entity. There's $600 million of free money to give them free rent into perpetuity, and a television network that was throwing off $225 to $250 million a year for a generation. And there's no money.
But they want
because
more.
Because Adley Rutschman's got it all.
They want more.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. This is the reality of it. The reality is they won 101 games. They have a pipeline. They have great players. I talked to John Eisenberg about that. I talked to Luke Jones about that. But then there's the reality of how they're running their business and all of the nonsense of the crying poor. And then next year they'll say, well, there's nobody in the stands. Well, you didn't do anything in the offseason. Right. You didn't market. You got a football team that's 9-3 on bye week taking a nap, and you've amassed billions of dollars in equity, and you're unwilling to buy a pitcher. Even after the people and Ron Cassie brought this up to, Ron Cassie's like, the citizens got the bill for the $4 million it cost to move the wall back, right? Like, the Orioles didn't pay for that. We paid for that. And now we pay for that under the guise of Mike Elias saying, this is a good idea, John. Let's do this. We'll pass the cost on to the citizens. They'll move the fence back, and we'll be able to sign a pitcher. Oh, yeah, we'll be able to retain pitchers. Great. What do pitchers cost? Well, we can't afford that, Mike, you know? So what does Elias think of this? Forget what Joe Sixpack or the fans or the fan or any uppity fans or Camden Chad or you and me or Luke, whatever any of the baseball people think of their offseason, what does Mike Elias think of this?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
He's this close to winning and doesn't have the resources, the real resources, to go down the hallway and do what he would have the resources to do in a dozen other places. If he had the Giants job, the Padres job, the Dodgers job, Yankees, Mets, just Phillies, go through all the teams that have money, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the White Sox. I'm leaving Astros, Cardinals. Cardinals signed our opening day starter for $29 million. I mean, I'm not saying we can't do better than him, but I'm saying to the Cardinals, he's a leader and he's a guy they want. He's a guy they invested in. And if we're not going to do better than that between now and opening day, I mean, I should say we should rattle cages and all of that, but I've been doing that for 30 years. I mean, how badly do they want to win? Do they want to win as badly as their fans want to win? Or do they want to make over on a lease and get out of this with $3 billion instead of $2 billion. I mean, literally, I don't know what else to say because they're not saying anything.
Well, with them, it's always been about the bottom line, Esther. You know that. As long as they're making money, they don't care. They can care less. They can care less who goes, who spends. Is my bottom line where I expected it to be? We've seen this movie before, and it has a very unhappy ending. We've seen it before.
I don't know. I don't know. They might get lucky and win. I really thought that when I was writing the book 10 years ago.
This is shades of Pat Gillick and Davey Johnson. Unfortunately.
I don't see any signs that you're wrong, right? I mean, I don't see any signs of life from the franchise after winning 101 games because I don't see any leadership. I mean, the organization, the franchise is focused on one thing. Bending over the citizens via Westmore and via the legislature and via some sort of threat of something. What's the threat, John? You're moving the team to Nashville. Try it, as I wrote back in July. Just try it. Try it with your own partners. Go to your own partners. Get your lawyers together. Go up the Park Avenue and talk about moving that franchise to Nashville. Seriously, go do that. Otherwise, take the $600 million that you asked for and do something new. Work with people. Work with people.
100%. Nestor, always great having you on. I know you're busy with the Crab Cake Tour. I look forward to spending some time and hanging out with you at State Fair next week.
You know, the Crab Cakes are awesome, but the conversation's even better. I mean, I've just had such great, rich experiences doing. I mean, I'm doing 4 and 6 days this week, right? So I'm just out all parts of town. I'm going to be up in Cecil County. We're going to be over Catonsville. You're going to be joining us. It's just, it's been nice to just sit with people and talk with people, you know, during this bye week. So, and it's holidays too. So, I mean, first things first, I'm over at Coco's and I think Marcella's going to sit down. I'm going to get a crab cake at it. She sits down with like a big thing of eggnog. And I'm like,
it's a good way to start.
If you sit, because you can bring whiskey or things that like I like or whatever. You bring me eggnog on November the 29th, means you love me.
It's a good start. Nothing like eggnog for breakfast.
I'll see you on Monday. You know, we got three other teams in the division that could lose this weekend, right?
Yep. Joe Flacco might play, so there's some intrigue there for sure.
Yeah, it's a good. It's going to be good to sit on the couch. I'm working real hard. I'm very inspired right now. All the work I'm doing. I'm seeing Geddy Lee in Toronto next week, so I'm excited about that. And the holidays are here, and we got great stuff going on. We got a lot to be thankful for post Thanksgiving.
He's seeing Geddy Lee. I'm seeing the Temptations, and the
are
Four
you?
Top and the Four Tops. Yes, sir. It just worked out that way. So MGM Grand.
Dennis, reach out. Reach
show.
Out.
Hey,
and I'll be there.
Out. You know? Always there. He's there for our community. Nestor J. Aparicio here for several decades now. We'll take a quick break.
I'll be there.
We'll take a quick break. So back right after this.